Today on Real Radio.
The very one he hated becomes his passion for living. The people he couldn't stand becomes his target for love. How cool is that?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a passage in chapter 5, verses 16 through 19, where Paul uses the term reconcile four times. That is, if we are born from above, we have a new life, a reconciliation with our Creator. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson simply called Get a Life.
The saved are saved. Remember, we are sinners saved by God's grace. The lost are lost because they've not experienced the grace of God yet. Their heart, they won't open their heart yet. At least they won't yet. That's how we should look. And this changes things for us. It's a game changer for us. Because that breaks us away from our, so to speak, ivory tower or palace. And it infuses us into a culture that should be all about Jesus anyway. Reaching. Look, we don't need to worry about how the culture's descending into this pit of insanity. Preach Christ. Live Christ. None of these things move us. But it's how you see Jesus. See, some people, maybe right now, you view Christ after the flesh. What does that mean? Well, listen, again, how did Saul view Jesus before he got converted? Did Saul of Tarsus, later to be Paul the Apostle, did he love Jesus or hate Jesus? He hated Jesus. Christians, did he love them or hate them? He hated them. As I said earlier, he'll kill them. When they killed Stephen, they laid their jackets so they could get a better throw, you know, so they could wind up and get a better pitch. They took all their coats and all their jackets and laid it down at Saul's feet so they could stone Stephen to death, a Christian. And Saul of Tarsus, Paul, was like, yes. Well, this change that happens in how you view Jesus matters. He went from an antichrist to a for Christ. But are we any different? Now, his shift is absolutely awesome. But what about us? Are you here today, A, because your mind was changed? My mind was changed at a certain time. What about you? Has your mind been changed regarding not only Jesus Christ and who he is, but about people? Because you can believe in Jesus and be missing it altogether because you have a view of Jesus according to the ways of the flesh. What do I mean by that? You have a religious Jesus. He's on your nightstand. You've got a picture of him in your hallway. You've got a religious Jesus. You've got icons that represent him. He may be on your dashboard. You've got a religious Jesus. You've got an attempt going on for you to hopefully, if you just do all these things, get your book signed and get your happy face and your merits and pray long enough and give enough money and do enough stuff and offer enough of this, that, and the other thing that you've earned God's acceptance. And let me tell you right now, take a big breath and divorce yourself from that stuff now, because you are no different than any other pagan religion on earth that's trying to earn your keep in front of God. And God, our God, the God of the Bible, will have none of that. He accepts you when you come to him under the understanding of absolute, I need help and can't save myself. And he comes in like a flood. And that is not religion. That is relational experience with God. And one can keep you from heaven, and the other one will take you there. A big difference. And John, think of John the apostle. The Bible says that John says in the scripture that John saw Jesus face to face. He talked with him. He touched him. They ate together. Now, look, don't raise your hand, but how many of you would love to see Jesus in that environment? Oh, if I could just go back 2,000 years ago and just walk with Jesus. I have to admit, that would be pretty cool. Can you imagine, what if John showed up here right now? The sky parts and John comes down and, John, so you really talked with Jesus? Yep. How tall was he? I mean, what kind of questions would you ask, honestly? How tall was he? Hair short or long? I mean, I'm thinking long. The pictures I've seen of him, long. Right? I mean, we know he had a beard because the Bible said that they would pluck out his beard. But, you know, was it kind of like Dana's beard when he was playing the guitar that's like Duck Dynasty beard long? And you know, when you guys went, when Peter, James, and John, you, John, when you went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, I mean, how was that? I mean, what was that like? And John would talk to us, and he would say, well, you know what? It's kind of amazing because, you know, I've kind of talked to a few of you guys, and you have this picture of Jesus. I got to tell you, Jesus laughed with us a lot. He laughed. Yeah, actually, he invented humor in the first place. He's God. Jesus was sorrowful a lot of the times because he would see people in their lost condition, and he was really grieved over the scribes and Pharisees, how in their religiosity they kept people from knowing God. Channeled everybody through into themselves, and Jesus hated that. But in the same time, he'd see a bird go by, and he would tell us things about that bird that nobody knew. I mean, it kind of freaked us out. We totally believed in him one moment, and then our doubts would creep in, and the next moment we wondered if he was the one or not. In fact, it really wasn't until after the resurrection that it clicked for me, John would say. But then John would stop us in the middle of this talk, and he would say, let's just leave all that behind. You want to know why? Like Paul, I, John, and the rest of us, we don't regard anyone after the flesh anymore, even Jesus. So what do you mean? Well, we knew him in his full-blown humanity here as he was heading to the cross. But now we know him in a different way. What do you mean? We know him in his total fulfillment, his mission. So what is that? Listen to what John says. John says, I'll tell you about Jesus. Revelation 19, 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. Oh man, don't we need a leader like that today? Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. Who? Jesus is coming back, and the Bible says he's going to judge and make war. Some of you need to hear that. People are trying to tell me about the Jesus of the Bible right now, that, and the Jesus I'm hearing is not the Jesus I'm reading in the Bible. He's going to come back and he's going to judge someday. Be happy he's not doing it right now. He's going to come back. The Bible says he's coming back and he's going to judge and he's going to make war. And John Bunyan called that the Holy War. He's not going to launch a war because he's out of control. He's going to launch a war against evil. Can you handle that? It doesn't matter. He's going to do it anyway. Revelation 19, 12 goes on. His eyes were like a flame of fire. John, what color was his eyes? Light green. Here on earth. Well, what color are they in heaven? Have you ever looked into an oven burning? Can you imagine? John says his eyes are like a flame of fire. Right now, church, what's Jesus like right now in the 21st century on this date in history? In heaven? His eyes are like a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. You know what that means? He's the ruler of the world. Hello. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. Verse 13, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's Jesus right now. Yikes. Man. In the book of Acts, I referenced it a moment ago, Stephen's getting stoned to death by these zealots. He's a Christian in Jerusalem. And as I said earlier, Saul is there, Paul of Tarsus is there. He's managing this martyrdom going on. And at some point in time, Stephen stands there. Imagine the blood. Imagine the rip and the tears. Those of you who have been to Israel, you've seen rocks. They don't have round rocks in Israel, except in the Valley of Elah. Israel, the rocks are like glass. They're all jagged-ended. Stephen's getting hit by rocks, and then he says, behold, I see the heavens opened, and Jesus seated at the right hand. Actually, in Stephen's case, it's a little bit different. He sees Jesus standing. Doesn't the Bible say Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father? Then why is Jesus standing in Acts chapter 7? Huh? Anybody know? You want to know why he's standing? Because he's going to receive Stephen any second. That's good news. Jesus is seated because there's nothing else for him to do now. Remember he died on the cross? What did he yell? It is finished. What is finished? Your redemption's complete. Wow. And the Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Apparently, the only exception to that is when he's going to greet one of his kids coming home. Jesus stands up. Is that good news or what? That's good news. Man, I know how that is. You know, I feel sorry for you because I'm always abusing you guys with these stories, but there's a lot of other churches you can go to, so that's fine. And it's what I'm living, so you know what? It's life for me. But it doesn't matter what I'm doing. If I see our grandkids coming over or our nephews coming over, I get up. They don't know that because they're still out at the curb. They don't know I'm getting up. But if I see my nephews or my grandkids pull up, I get up. Hey, they're here. I go to the door. I open the door. Now, I could say, oh, I am Jack. I am Papa Jack. And as Papa Jack, you come gather around me. Kiss my ring and ask me if I want something to drink or my feet massaged. Are you kidding? I am up and out of there, man. Why? Because it's the kids. And here Jesus gets up from his seat to welcome the martyr, his child, Stephen. That gives me a lot of hope, man. I don't know how each of us are going to die. I don't know how I'm going to die. You do not know how you're going to die. I heard somebody tell me recently, well, Pastor, I got cancer. It's fourth stage. I know how I'm going to die. So you don't know that. There's a high probability you're going to die of cancer. But because you're a Christian, the rapture could happen today. Or you could right now get up and walk away from our conversation and slip on a banana peel and break your neck and die. You think you know how you're going to die. The way the world's going, we'll all be crucified for being a Christian. You don't know you're going to die, but this I know. And if you don't believe this, don't tell me, because don't disappoint me. But based on Scripture, Acts 7, I think Jesus is going to get up and say, come on, Jack, come here. He's going to open the door. Hey, you're here! I hope he doesn't say, what are you doing here? Right? He's going to say, you're here! Come on! It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a great day. The next thing we'll have to end at this point here is, no, we can't end at this point here. I got to give you a verse. I got to give you a verse that's massive in meaning. Will you turn quickly to John 3? Turn to John 3. Everybody turn there. Get out your iPad and turn there. Some of you pagans, I see you using your phones and stuff. That's okay if you find an app that sounds like pages turning in your phone. But the rest of the godly people are using their actual Bibles. Sounds like this, right? I just offended everybody under 30. Turn in your smartphone to John 3:1. And this is exactly an awesome picture for us to see what Jesus is giving us on how we should relate to people. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Stop right there. Not a good guy. I don't care how sweet he might be. He's with the wrong team. A ruler of the Jews. This guy, his team hates Jesus. This man came to Jesus by night so he wouldn't be seen with Jesus. And said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. It's interesting. Jesus' critics, and this is the top dog, is saying, truthfully or not, I don't know. But he says, we've seen what you've done. Skeptics, listen. Jesus' opponent said, you must come from God. Either A, he's lying to Jesus, or he means it, which is why he came by night. I don't know. I don't need to know. But what he is saying is true. For no one can do these things unless God is with him. Verse 3, Jesus, can I paraphrase this? Blows off the compliment and says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born a second time, Nicodemus, you're not going to heaven. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? How am I going to be born twice? And Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, that's earthly birth, and the Spirit, a heavenly birth, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born from above or born a second time, born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it. You can't see the wind blowing by, but you see the effect of it. But you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to Jesus, how can these things be? I love this. Jesus answered and said to him, aren't you the teacher of Israel? Dude, you should know this. I mean, you are the dean of Jerusalem U. Do you not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not even receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Stop right there. What was Jesus' desire? To win a debate or to get this man into the kingdom of God? Exactly. To get this man into the kingdom of God. That should be your concern and mine. You want to get a life? Get a biblical life. And you'll want to reach people that God has placed in your path with the gospel. Because you know that hell is coming like a freight train. Time is running out. If we really believed, I think it was William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he said, if I could take my disciples and hang them over hell for 5 minutes, they would never backslide. Jesus Christ has changed our minds regarding himself, Jesus, himself, not only people, but himself. He says, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. We have changed our minds concerning Jesus Christ. That according now to the flesh, there's been a dramatic change. And Paul is saying, I know I'm a Christian by two dramatic things that have happened. Number one is I've had a mind change about people. Paul would say, I love people now. God, in his profound sense of humor, takes this Jewish zealot, gets him saved, and sends Paul, not to the Jews, he sends Paul to the Gentile world. Isn't that amazing? That is awesome. That the world in the first century, they knew Jews hated them. You understand that? Is that pretty dark? That's dark. In your worldview, in your culture, first century, if you heard of a Jew, you knew he's the last person on the planet I could ask help from. Because he believes I've been created by his God for hell. That's not what the Bible says, but that's what Judaism taught. So there's this big division. So that's how the world views Paul. But the old Paul believed the same way, so to speak. Ah, let him burn. Now there's the new Paul. He's got a new life. So what does God do? God says this, listen everybody, this applies to you. God says, I'm going to take this guy and all of his old life representation, and I'm not going to send him to people who already know all about that. I'm going to send him to people who are the last people on the planet that would ever think that a man could be changed in mind and heart. And God takes like toothpaste in a tube, points Paul over Turkey, Lebanon, think of that. Europe, think of that. Germany, Austria today, England, Spain, and goes and squirts this guy's life over Europe. Listen, some of you have never left California. This guy traveled the world, man, on a donkey and camel and feet. For what? For Jesus. The very one he hated becomes his passion for living. The people he couldn't stand becomes his target for love. How cool is that? When Christianity gets a hold of you, he does that. That's why you read and see Christians doing crazy things where this guy was saved in Manhattan in a 100-story Wall Street office, and you find him handing out food and loving and washing the feet of kids in Tijuana. How does that happen? Jesus. And so, church, listen, we need to nurture our hearts in how we look at people and how we look at Jesus, because we better make sure that we know Jesus right. And one of the evidences of that is that we will love the people Jesus loves. Church, listen, who does Jesus love? Listen, Jesus loves the lost. He already loves you. That's done. Jesus, do you love me? Stop asking. He loves you. Done. You're in the family. Over. In. It's the lost that they don't know that. Reach them. Because you know what? If he showed up today, he would say, come on, let's go. And I don't think that Jesus would go down to LAX and book a flight to Bangladesh. I think Jesus would walk through the midst of the sanctuary and he would start talking to people. He assumes nothing, right? And he's looking for faith. Do you trust me? Do you believe me? Do you believe that I died on the cross and rose again from the grave? The Bible said I would. It was written in advance. It was written in advance before I even showed up. The whole book talked about me being born in Bethlehem. Don't you believe it? Did you read it? Was I not born in Bethlehem? Ask Rome. If you don't want to read anything from a Christian perspective, go ask the Romans. And then it even said that before I would ever be born in the world, that angels would be present at my coming. Haven't you guys seen a Christmas program? And I would be crucified. And 1,000 years before I would come to earth, it would say that I would get crucified on my hands and my feet. Look! He could do this. If he showed up right now, he could do this. Oh, and look at this. Pulls up his shirt and there's a hole in his side, scars. See that? It said I would have this happen. Do you believe me? He would say. He would ask you, do you believe me? And listen, you will decide. He will never walk up to you and say, do you believe me? Give me your arm and let me twist it. Instead of saying uncle, say Jesus saves. Say Jesus saves. Say it. Jesus saves. Okay, good. He won't do that. You choose. It's your choice. So where are you in this? Do you know Jesus after the flesh in a religious way? Or do you know him now no longer like that?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson simply called Get a Life. It's a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 16 through 19, where Paul explains that the true believer has been reconciled to the Father. Get a Life is actually a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, have you signed up for Pastor Jack's Real Life Devotions yet? Real Life Devotions show up in your inbox every Monday. Real Radio listeners love them and are letting Pastor Jack know. As an example, last summer, a gentleman named John read the devotional called May We Be Found Faithful, based on a parable found in Matthew 25. So he wrote to us saying, you know, I've read that parable over and over again throughout the years, but had the understanding that it was more about what I was doing for the Lord rather than what I was being for the Lord. Jesus uses us differently according to his will. So for us, it is of most importance that we be what he wants us to be. Thank you, Pastor Jack. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Again, that comes from John, a Real Radio listener. Thanks so much for that, John. Subscribe to Pastor Jack's Real Life Devotions. Simply visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can point and click around and get your devotions at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.